This audio recording is a service of Incarnation Catholic Church, a Roman Catholic parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. We invite you to visit us in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.incarnationcc.org. We thank you for listening. The following homily was preached on Saturday, September 14, 2024, the Feast of the Exaltation of the Holy Cross, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Make a brazen serpent, set it up for a sign. Whosoever being struck shall look on it, shall live.
May the words of my mouth, meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Those words from the book of Numbers, first reading this morning. They speak of a sign. Twice it says it in there. Our Lord says, set it up as a sign. Moses sets it up, identifying it as a sign. This is basically what the Old Testament's all about, is signifying things that are going to happen in the future, particularly in our Lord Jesus Christ. This particular sign of the brazen serpent is a sign specifically about the cross. Our Lord Jesus Christ quotes this very passage in the Gospel of John that we heard read this morning. When we equate the two, it's just not, you just don't want to look at things on the surface. Just, okay, it's a sign of the cross. Let's move on. Well, why was it necessary? Why was it necessary? If the brazen serpent signifies the cross, the reasons for the brazen serpent will signify why the cross was necessary. The signs, the serpents, not a matter of coincidence. What are the serpents that bit the people of Israel? They are a sign of the serpent that bites people continuously throughout salvation history. That is that old serpent, as he is called in the book of Revelation, the devil. It's speaking of, it is a sign of the demons that constantly beset us, that are constantly striking us. This being struck. It's kind of interesting when you see fruition come in the cross. It's much more amplified than a brazen serpent. Same thing with struck. These people were bit by serpents, but we are constantly bitten by sin. We are constantly injured. And as it says in the Old Testament with the people of Israel, and many die from being struck by the demonic. This is a sign for us. It killed many. We have to be terrified at this. Another sign is that everybody in the camp, everybody in the nation of Israel was terrified that a serpent might bite them. And so everybody's looking at the brazen serpent. Again, it comes to fruition in our cross. We should all be terrified of the possibility of being killed by sin and by the demons. This is something that makes us wise. Hence, the fear of the Lord, the beginning of wisdom. We need to understand that these signs from the Old Testament are something that we need to bring to the forefront of our minds, because it's not like a really dramatic history lesson of something really cool that happened in the Bible with the brazen serpent. It is happening to us day to day. This is the reality of our lives. As they looked at the brazen image that our Lord directed Moses to lift up, we have to understand that looking at the cross is so much more amplified for us. It does so much better. We need to understand this. That is the beginning of wisdom, to confess that the cross is necessary for us, that we are sinners in need of a Savior, and there is no way that we can earn our own way into heaven, but it is the grace of God. We need to confess this. Little side note, it's another interesting sign that goes on in that Old Testament. Notice, you know, all your friends who aren't Catholic, who love to say, This is between me and God. My offense is against me and God. He's the only one that I don't have to confess my sins to anybody else. I always point out that's never the case in the Old Testament. And this is very, very specific. These people have offended God, right, for grumbling against him. And what do? Do they get out on their knees outside of their tents? God, we're sorry we grumbled against you. No. What do? They go to Moses and confess their sins against God. It's the pattern. It's the sign. We need to understand that. But I mean, this is a stepping stone for us when we come to the grips of reality in the fact that indeed we are sinners in need of a Savior, and the way we were saved was through the cross. The cross, this is one of the, I'm always pointing out prayers that we say, like the Our Father, the Hail Mary, the Apostles' Creed. We hear them so often we can say them with thinking about 12 other things and not really be thinking about what we're saying. Familiarity truly does breed contempt. I don't contempt those prayers. It doesn't mean contemptuous in as much as you hate the prayers. It's contemptuous for paying attention and meditating about what we say every single day. Some of those prayers several times every day. Some past several, many times. The Hail Mary, if you say rosaries, many times a day. We need to think about what we're saying. When we think about the cross, and this is even more pervasive, what is in front of our face constantly? I mean, in church, we wear them on our around our necks. They're on pictures in our homes. The cross is absolutely everywhere, and it absolutely should be. But like these prayers that we say so frequently, every time you pass by and you look at, you should think about what this signifies, the sign of the cross. I want to kind of talk about that, the sign of the cross. And I'm not talking about just looking at a cross and what it is. The sign of the cross that we do, again, many times a day. Why do we do that? I mean, I would love to put it together. Why do you do the sign of the cross? I would love to see the limited amount of answers that I would probably get. It'll be, why do you do it? Oh, because I'm a Catholic. That is not the reason why you do that. It is not the reason whatsoever, the sign of the cross. And there are a lot of people who do it almost mechanically. I'm a priest, and I really like when people do the sign of the cross properly. I like to see people do that. But I'm also, there's usually not a week or two that goes by when I see, I'm like, why did that person do that then? We don't do it just because. Don't make it mechanical. That's why I said, if you do it properly, the proper way to do the sign of the cross is on your forehead, on your down into your lower abdomen, and then shoulder to shoulder. This isn't it. That's not the sign of the cross. That's slothful. It's sloppy. It shows that you don't care. I do care. Then do it right. Do it right. It is something of tremendous significance. Pope Benedict XVI. The most basic Christian gesture in prayer is and always will be the sign of the cross. Sign of the cross is the earliest documented thing that Christians do as far as actions. It is the earliest thing. What do Christians do? They do the sign of the cross. They sign themselves with the cross. Earliest thing that's recorded that Christians do. This is where Pope Benedict XVI got those words. And like I said, he emphasizes and always will be the basic gesture of Christian prayer. When we do that, we are praying without saying anything. And it's very important. I would actually say if you do the sign of the cross properly and reverently, that it is more efficacious than many of our prayers that we say, wordy prayers that go on and on and on like that, because the sign of the cross is something that is profound. You know, the sign of the cross is a sacramental. Sacramentals, rosaries, holy water, things like the sign of the cross is a sacramental. So if you do it flippantly, you are actually, it would be like going to the holy water font and brushing your hand through it and throwing it all over the place and just to get out of there. We don't do that kind of stuff. It's a sacramental. It should be looked upon as such. It's kind of interesting too, that when he said it's the basic gesture of Christian prayer. I don't understand why this isn't a reading today. Well, I do understand why it is. Different subject for a different day. But there's a passage in the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 9. If you want to read, it's a short chapter in Ezekiel 2. Read Ezekiel chapter 9 and look at the details, and you'll probably understand why you don't hear that as a reading on the side of the cross. But it is most appropriate. It would much more appropriate, I would say appropriate, it much more telling and riveting than from Numbers with the serpent. Because the serpent, okay, how is that a sign of the cross of the serpent? Check this one out in Ezekiel. In Ezekiel, he has a vision of heaven, and God is, his wrath is kindled against the people who have been unfaithful again and again and again. And as Ezekiel's looking into heaven, six individuals from heaven, angels, they come out. Actually, there's seven of them. Six of them have weapons of destruction in their hand. And the other one is dressed in white, and he has writing instruments. God looks at him and says, you go down, and I want you to put the sign of the Tau on them, on their foreheads. The Tau is a T. If you know Franciscans, where they wear their cross, their Franciscan cross is a T. That's the Tau cross. Ezekiel, Old Testament, God says, go down there and mark their foreheads with a Tau. And it's kind of interesting when you look at Hebrew, the way the Tau has been written through history, it is like the cross that the Franciscans wear, a T. It is also a sign. It's a cross, just like we see up here. There is also a sign where it is an X, like we see the St. Andrew's cross. Go sign them with the Tau. Sign their foreheads with what we would, if you would see a Tau, somebody's wearing it, that's a nice cross, because that's what our Lord in the Old Testament wanted people to be signed with, that the angels who had their weapons of destruction in their hand would leave them alone. This is how old the sign of the cross is. Ezekiel 9. Read it. It's excellent. When we do the sign of the cross, we have to understand that we are bringing forward what God wanted this angel to do for the people. He wanted them to be signed on their forehead with a cross. We sign ourselves with the cross. When we do that, it is a confession. We confess Christ with our very bodies, physically, publicly. We manifest our belief in what our Lord Jesus Christ wrought for us on the cross. We use it as a public confession of our faith. We seal ourselves with it when we do it. So it's for public demonstration. It is a sealing of ourselves. We seal ourselves, reiterating that we give our yes to the one who in his body and publicly gave himself up for us on the cross. This is the sign. When we do the sign of the cross, we make it our shield. It's a sacramental. Demons flee from the sign of the cross. That is replete throughout history, particularly by exorcists who confront demons as their vocation. The sign of the cross, they flee, cannot tolerate it. This is what we do to ourselves when we sign ourselves to the cross. So it should be done at opportune times, appropriate times. You know, today we're having the Respect Life. We're going to have adoration throughout the day later on. And if you're involved in that kind of a ministry, for instance, you get out of your car, before you get out of your car, in any abortion mill, you better be signing yourself with the sign of the cross, because it's a shield against the demons who live there. They live and work at those places. That is their temple. It's even where they live there. That is where they are worshiped. What? Those places are a place of demon worship. That is where babies are sacrificed to demons on the altar of self and convenience. You think you need all the help you can get if you're going to confront that nonsense. You better be siding yourself with the sign of the cross before you get out of your car. And then I would actually say probably several times throughout the whole time you're there. And then when you leave, this is the power, the efficacy of the sign of the cross. It puts demons to flight. We talk about it as a sign, though. Signs signify things. We never want to lose sight of the fact that it also is a sign to us, like any traffic sign or any sign of direction that you see hanging up anywhere. When we place the sign of the cross upon ourselves, it is a sign that we are to do what our Lord talks about in the gospel, to take up our cross daily and follow him. Every time you do the sign of the cross, you should read that sign. Yes, it's what Jesus did for me, but yes, this is what I have to do today. So everything that I'm confronted with, everything that might be a burden, anything that might be horrible, any temptation, we take up our cross and follow him. When we do the sign of the cross, that is a sign placed before us. Take up that cross that you just did the sign and follow me. This is how much is involved, and there is so much more in the sign of the cross. When you sign yourself with the sign of the cross, let's kind of tie this whole thing up. Just talked about several things. But when you do the sign of the cross, you are signifying, without argument, the absolute essence of your faith. The essence of our faith is found in the sign of the cross. It's a sign of the Trinity, name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. It is a sign of the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. It is a sign of our baptism, because we are baptized in the triune formula in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And several times in the traditional rite of baptism, signs of the cross are placed on the child or the person being baptized. It is a sign of the resurrection, because he hung on the cross, suffered and died, and then he rose again. A lot of your friends who are not Catholic, he's not on the cross anymore. He's ascended into heaven. That is absolutely true. He has done so. We have not. And while we are here struggling and taking up our cross daily and following him, we are to emulate what St. Paul says, and we are to show forth the death of our Lord Jesus Christ until he come again. This is what we do. He is indeed resurrected. But where did he have to go before he was resurrected? To die on the cross. In the sign, again, we demonstrate and seal ourselves with the absolute essence of what we believe. This is the sign of the cross. This is why it had been, the whole thing has been transformed. Because when our Lord Jesus Christ was dragging his cross to Calvary, the cross was nothing but a sign of execution. It was a sign of your criminality. It was a sign of an impending and torturous death. This is what it was, a sign of that we have taken that sign. I should say our Lord Jesus Christ has taken that sign and completely transformed it from a sign of your demise in this world to a sign of victory. To a sign of victory that we have overcome this world through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is what we need to understand about it. So the next time you sign yourself with a cross, do it properly. I'm speaking to the choir. Tell your friends to do it properly. I know you all do. Do it properly. Do it when it should be done, not just mechanically. And it should be done often. And think of some of these things. There's a lot going on here. There's a lot going on in the cross. In the name of the Father and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.